The Naked Scientists.
Hello, it's Sunday, the 27th of November. Welcome to The Naked Scientists. I'm Ben Valsler, and I'm joined this week by Dave Ansell.
Hello.
This week, we've got a whole new way of looking at the world. We'll explore new ways to see tiny things and to see inside metal structures.
In the news, we'll be looking at a long-term study of statins and unearthing the world's oldest fishhook.
So if you have any questions or comments for us,
call in on 0845 30 50 007 or text us by sending the word science and your question to 81333. Text or chat at your standard network rate.
Now, most people will have seen a thermal camera. They're a special type of camera that can detect the far infrared radiation that's emitted by hot things. They're also incredibly useful for the world of non-destructive evaluation. In fact, they're great at seeing otherwise invisible defects in materials. So I spoke to Tony Dunhill. He's the Associate Fellow in NDE, Non-Destructive Evaluation, at Rolls-Royce, and also President of the British Institute of Non-Destructive Testing.
Thermography is the use of temperature differences of a part, and it involves using a thermal camera. Now, the thermal cameras have come on in this world greatly over the last 5 or 7 years. We're now able to use various forms of heat application. The most traditional is passive thermography, where you just look at a part and look for the hot spots. And that's used a lot in power stations, engineering structures, where you might see a failing at a point and it gets hot just before it fails. Active thermography, you apply some heat, and that can be done with a flash lamp, with electrical induction, or it can be done with a laser. So the usual method is to apply some sort of heat, look at how that heat dissipates with time, and then within that time period, there'll be a point where a defect will reveal itself.
Heating components, especially metals, tends to lead them to expand. Are you risking sort of obscuring problems that you might see with other techniques by perhaps expanding the material and therefore filling up cracks that might be there?
Well, when we say we heat it to a minute level. I mean, we're talking about changes of temperature at a maximum of about 2 degrees. So just by picking the thing up, you're putting the same amount of heat in as we're using. So the change in profile of the defect due to that heating is going to be minuscule. Although I have to say, if a crack is under a lot of compressive stress, it is quite easy for heat to transfer itself across the crack, and so that often is a poor detector under those circumstances. Whereas if the crack is open, then thermal techniques is a much more viable method.
So how else can we apply the heat? You said there'd be several different methods. So beyond literally just flashing a very bright hot bulb at it, how else can we make these cracks show themselves?
Well, there's two methods that are being worked at the moment. One is induction thermography, where you put the part in an induction coil. That gives you a local region that you're heating, and if it's a long part, you can then just pass the piece through. The second method is with a laser spot, and this is very useful if you can't get very near the part. So like nuclear storage drums or something like that, then you can shine the laser at some distance away. You can use a thermal camera to see the heat spot caused by the laser, and then you can scan the laser around, and where it comes across a crack, then you'll get a change in the dimensions of the heat spot.
So this isn't just something that has to be done on an engineer's bench somewhere. You can actually use thermography in situ.
Yes, so long as you can get line of sight to the place you're interested in. And there are beginning to be quite useful borescopes that can take infrared light, so access issues are becoming less of a problem. And distance can be quite effective. You can do the laser technique over quite a few metres and still have a fairly sensitive technique. You could even go through various forms of glass, provided it'll transmit the infrared.
So we have lasers, we have induced heating. Are there any other means that we can create the heat and see these cracks?
Well, quite often you don't necessarily need heat, but you could use cold. You can pass cold air on the rear surface of a part and it'll suck the heat away, and where there's a defect in the way, then that might retain the heat. So long as you get this heat differential across the defect, then that's usually what you're looking for.
New coatings are being developed all the time, and new alloys which change the way that the surface will oxidize. Does this mean that you're constantly having to review exactly how you apply these techniques in the light of these new developments?
Where we have new materials, then we have to understand how that material property will affect the technique we're applying. So yes, there's a sort of baselining of exercise you have to do. But I mean, most metals behave in a similar way, and most ceramics behave in a fairly similar way. So you can make a judgment. And we have good theoretical understandings from our research centres that support us. And the thermography one is particular at Bath University, where we take advice from them as to the different effects that new materials would have on the techniques we apply.
That was Tony Dunhill from Rolls-Royce. Thermography is part of a great set of tools that we have for non-destructive evaluation. One technique which will probably be more familiar from medicine is sonography, or imaging with sound. To find out how ultrasonic waves can help us see inside metal components, I met Bristol University's Professor Bruce Drinkwater.
Well, the ultrasonic waves, they're a similar form to acoustic waves, so we know they travel in air, but they also travel in liquids and solids. And so, you know, dealing with bits of metal, then ultrasonic waves travel really very nicely in those bits of metal. And so we have a series of sources which emit ultrasound into the metal structure, and they're reflected from all of the interior structure, which obviously includes cracks. We can then pick up with our microphones, ultrasonic microphones. Actually, they're small piece of electric elements, but it doesn't really matter. They're receivers of ultrasound. We can pick up that reflected energy, process it, and from that produce an image of the interior of the component.
A lot of the materials that we might be looking at to try and find cracks are actually very highly, very precisely made materials in the first place. Often they can be a single metallic crystal. Does that actually affect the way that the ultrasound would travel through?
Yes, the crystal structure is utterly paramount to how waves travel in it. So the single crystals are anisotropic in their material properties, which, as far as ultrasound is concerned, means that waves travelling in different directions go at different speeds. And so you can imagine, if we're not very careful, that could create all sorts of confusions. We have to compensate and take account of the fact that the velocities are different, the speeds of sounds are different in different directions. And if we do that, then we can produce images as if the velocity was uniform.
So essentially you use some kind of algorithm or some kind of computer modelling to compensate for how you know the sound would travel in a pristine example. And that therefore means that you can compare your example to pristine and easily see if there's something wrong.
Yeah, we need to have a model of the structure we're trying to test in order to correctly image it. And one of the big challenges is when you go to a component and try to make a measurement where there's uncertainty in that model. And so one of the things we have been working on is what we call autofocus techniques, where your camera automatically adjusts to put things in focus, whereas we have been working on ways of trying to automatically extract this picture of what the structure is like, so this model, without knowing it beforehand, or say it's the particular principal orientation direction is unknown. But we can extract that from the data itself if we know something about the structure, like, for example, how thick it is. In terms of detecting cracks, the real challenge is somewhat different to the medical challenge, where you've got this very rich image. The interior of a piece of metal is, you'd have thought, relatively simple, and it is, but there's a lot of scattering from other things within the material, like grain boundaries, although they don't occur in the single crystal example we just talked about. But in most metals, there are many grain boundaries, all reflecting ultrasound, and there may or may not be cracks. And so the challenge is to achieve that high-resolution imaging performance of the crack surrounded by these other scatterers, which basically set the signal-to-noise ratio of your measurement, or the best possible measurement that you can make.
And I assume that signal-to-noise is ultimately what will limit the resolution with which we can view these and the actual minimum size at which we can first detect that crack.
Yeah, and that's always the challenge, to detect the smallest possible crack, and that's we're always trying to push the limits of what's possible there, and that's what I'm interested in as a researcher.
That was Professor Bruce Drinkwater from Bristol University. But